Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue in the story of the Gospels. Last time we left Jesus there in Canaan, in between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean, but now we find him heading up to Nazareth. Of course, this is the town where he grew up in. We pick up the story in Luke chapter 4, in verse number 16, for those who are following along. We read, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." You know, he set such a great example for us, and I think it's so important as we see how Jesus saw the importance for Christian fellowship, or for fellowship of believers, in this case, going to the synagogue. You know, there seems to be a new movement where those who feel like they just don't feel like they need to go to church anymore. You know, they don't need to go on Sunday. They don't need to gather with other believers, and they don't need to, you know, listen to a pastor as he teaches and have time to pray together. Paul says for us not to forsake the assembly of believers. I think it's important because we need each other. We need to grow from one another and be accountable to each other. And basically, one thing I love is as I gather with the believers at Agape Chapel, I see each other truly sharing love with one another. And so Jesus was on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, and we read that he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written. You know, I think it's so great that we see that how Jesus was teaching and reading from the Old Testament. Lately it's been kind of troubling to me as I've been getting words where pastors and churches have decided not to really use the Old Testament as a teaching tool to be able to instruct people in the way of righteousness. And certainly that's what the Bible has been given to us in order for God to reveal himself to mankind and for us as individuals to grow from and how to live a godly life. And there are those who are moving away from the verse-by-verse and the chapter-by-chapter studying and teaching of the Bible. Let me tell you, but I also know that there's men across this country that have fully committed to teaching God's Word. As for me, I don't know any better. I'm going to go chapter and chapter and verse-by-verse through the entire Bible. Even as we're doing here, we're going taking a look at every verse. Because I believe that each verse is important as it's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Each word is important. And so we see here in our story how Jesus was handed the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The first of all tells us in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Here it is prophesying many, many years prior, speaking of Jesus. You know, as we read in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it speaks about the Old Testament, whereas of Jesus, it says in the volume of the book. Otherwise, as you take a look at the scriptures, it says it's written of him. It's written of Jesus. And certainly in this verse, we says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Do you remember here earlier where we saw Jesus at the River Jordan? And how John baptized him, and as he came up out of the water, it says the Holy Spirit, like a dove, or a dove descended upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it said that a voice from heaven opened, and the voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son." And so here Jesus is speaking about this verse in Isaiah, where it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The work, again, of the Holy Spirit is that anointing that we have, anointing for service, anointing for ministry. In the Old Testament, we see so often the picture of oil, how they would run oil down their beards. They would just enjoy the refreshing of the oil. to help to enable them for ministry. And so that became the picture in the Old Testament, and certainly it was the work of the Holy Spirit, not only as Jesus here speaks about it, but it also is so important for our lives to have that anointing of God's Spirit upon us. He says, because of that anointing, it enabled him, as tells us, the next thing that he would do is to preach the gospel to the poor. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1, it speaks of the beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. The first message that Jesus says tells us later on in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is Jesus speaking now. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus went out to share the good news to the poor. Well, you know, you might look at this and you might get a misunderstanding what poor meant here. This isn't just as in poor, you know, far as not having a lot of money in your wallet, but rather it's that poor of spirit. Somebody who's in a desperate strait who needs God. That's who the gospel goes to. Those who are hurting, those who are down, those who are troubled. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money in the bank account or none at all. There is a desperate need that mankind has in order to know God. The good news comes to us who are needy, those who are wanting. He also said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, so often when we think of the healing of Jesus Christ, we think of physical healing, which we will see as we go through the Gospels, and we thank the Lord that we see God healing even there in our present time. And you know, I've witnessed it many times, seeing God touch and heal people's life. But here he's talking about the brokenhearted. Have you ever had a broken heart? Have you ever experienced a shattered dream, a disappointment? See, Jesus is able to heal down to the deepest core of our being. Maybe where somebody else has never seen. You keep it hidden because it hurts so much. Let me tell you, if that's you today, if you're hurting down to the depths of your being, allow Jesus to heal you. Talk to him about it. You could talk to him right now and just say, Lord, I'm still hurting because of this happened or that happened. And allow Jesus to heal you. He says, I've come. I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted. And then he says to proclaim liberty to the captives. What are the captives? Well, it tells us that once Jesus died on the cross and before he rose from the dead, he went actually down into Hades and proclaimed the good news. He says, I've died for your sins. And it says that he led the captives free. And I believe those were the Old Testament saints who died, who are now with Abraham in Abraham's bosom, as it describes. And it tells us that after this, that they could see many of the saints walking in the streets there in Jerusalem. That would have been an amazing event to be able to see. But he led those who were captive free. Aren't we so glad that he's made a way to set us free from our captivity? Do you remember before you came to Christ what had held you captive? Your pride? Maybe your arrogance? Maybe the lifestyle that you had gotten yourself into from drugs or drinking or carousing or whatever it might have been. Jesus came to set us free from that deep ache that we have within our hearts, that unfulfillment that we have. Some people have tried to find their fulfillment in business, in their careers, trying to rise to the top. And then maybe those who have risen to the top and all of a sudden they look around and they see that nothing's there. Sometimes I think of those who are pressing so hard to be in leadership in government and even up to the place of the presidency. You know, it would be great to be a president. It would be great to be a king where you could call the shots. But you know what? I feel for those people once they sit in those chairs. If they don't have God, I bet they look around and they must, if they're honest with themselves, they would say, emptiness, emptiness. Because the only thing that can fulfill their lives is a right relationship with God. He also said the mission why God has sent them here in Isaiah, why Jesus came, to recover the sight of the blind, not only physically, as we'll see as we move through the Gospels, but those who are blind from the truth of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Do you remember when your eyes were open? That one wonderful, wonderful moment where you moved from darkness to light. And as he says, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. See, Satan's job is to keep us down. This word is oppression. Is like he has us underneath his thumb and he's squeezing and squeezing and squeezing to keep us down, just to keep life out of us. Jesus wants to set us free. If you're feeling discouraged underneath the oppressions of Satan's thumb, go to Jesus and let him set you free, even this day. The scripture says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Allow him to set you free. See, God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to put zest in our life. I think so often our lives are kind of like food without any spices. You know, kind of bland. But when the Lord gets a hold of us, man, I tell you, he makes our life so much, filled with so much joy, so much excitement. And then finally it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean? We're going to find out as we move forward in the Gospels. Let me give you a hint. It's going to involve Jesus, of course. And this day that we'll be talking about is a day that the builders reject the cornerstone. And it's a day that Jesus comes riding on a donkey of all things as he comes in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm so excited to continue through the Gospels as we look at these events that are going to be coming right before our eyes before we know it. And so it tells us in the story that he closed the book and he gave it to his attendant and he sat down and all the eyes of those in the synagogue were fixed on him. And as you continue reading this story here in the Gospel of Luke, he knew that though those who were looking at him were people that he grew up around, and they could understand why Jesus was doing all these things. You know, I think it's amazing, as he even says, a prophet is not welcome in your own town. Sharing your testimony, your life, how your life was changed to your family members, sometimes is the hardest thing that we can do. But I think what we need to do, and I encourage you to in this, it's just to be faithful to God of who you are and allow your life to be that witness to them. And you'll be surprised how the Holy Spirit will use your life in order to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at TerryReynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's TerryReynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California 92647. May God richly bless you.